This is a month for outreach, and God has got something special for you to do. He's got needs for you to find and fulfill. And I want everybody to understand over the course of the next few weeks that God's got a great mission for your life. And so today I just want to begin in scripture, and just one little scripture today. Look at Luke. I want to begin at verse number 13, guys. 13 instead of 12 first, guys. Look here first before we pray. He said, but when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Thank God. Let's pray. Father, I love you and thank you, Father. Lord, for your great word. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, you have given us a great mission. But God, I pray that you just bless me today as I try to do my very, very best to speak your word and be consistent with the word, the way that you would have your people to receive your word, God. Because, Lord, we need your word. We rely upon your word. And we love your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you today. Have you ever realized, maybe you have, but have you ever realized that the older you get, the faster time seems to go? How many have realized that in your life? It's a strange thing. When you were a child, it felt like the summertime took forever. But now the summertime just flies right on by. Maybe you remember this. When you were young, it seemed like it took ages for Christmas time to get here. And you just couldn't wait. But now it feels like when you look up, it's already the holiday season. You may even do like I do. You talk to your spouse and you say something like, honey, didn't we just take the Christmas tree down the other day? How many of you guys have ever been there with me? Come on, amen. The older you get, things start flying by. I had a conversation with my nephew just this weekend. And he just got married last year. And he said to me, Uncle Brandon, I need to talk to you. I said, yeah, what's up? He said, I found out when you're getting married, things really change. He's 24. I said, man, just, you have no idea. Just wait on. Things change during stages of life. When you were a little baby, your circle of needs was really the entire community. Everyone around you had to be aware of your needs, and you needed everyone to be aware that you were present so that you'd be safe and well cared for. And then you became a child, and when you were a child, your circle began to close up a little bit, and you needed a lot of family and friends around you, not the whole community. And when you reached adolescence, your teen years, your circle of people enclosed even more. And you found out that all you really needed was a small group of really close friends. And when you became an adult, maybe you got married and you started a family, and your circle of needs and people almost closed up tight right around you. And it seemed like the only person at times you really need was your spouse. But then something peculiar begins to happen. When you become a senior adult, your circle of people and your needs begin to expand again. And sometimes you find out during that stage of life that it's harder to get people to come back into your circle. Because although now you need and you want them, they are at a different stage of life. And you've got to work double time just to get the people to come back into your circle. Some of you who are grandparents and great-grandparents know exactly what I'm talking about because you know how tough it can be to stay connected with the people you love. It can be very difficult. It all seems so natural, and it is really by the world standards. But in God's kingdom, church, we are equipped and we are called to function differently than the world functions. Although we naturally become more insular and we become more self-focused as life goes along, as God's people, we're still responsible for reaching out and involving people in our lives for the purpose of growing the kingdom of God. If you're a believer this morning, I want you to know there's a mission that is attached to your life. And there's really no other way to put this. When we're not interested in reaching people for the cause of Christ, if we remain solely focused on our own pursuits and our own desires, it means that we are in direct disobedience to the commission of Jesus to go and make disciples. Are y'all hearing me this morning? God has got people for us to find. He's got a mission for us to fulfill. And his great purpose in working through us to outreach with the gospel is so that the lost will be found, that his kingdom will be populated, and his house will be filled. Amen. The parable that we're relying on today is from Luke 14. It's called the parable of the great supper. Let's read this story through. Here we go. Watch closely on your screen. Luke 14 and 12. Here's what he said. Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives. Don't ask your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid." In other words, what the Lord is saying to us right here in this moment is simply this: don't just do for the people who can do for you. Let me say that one more time. Don't just do for the people who can do for you. It's so important. Verse 13, but when you give a feast, here's who you need to invite. Invite the poor, invite the maimed, invite the lame, the blind. And then you'll be blessed because they can't repay you. For you shall be repaid in the resurrection of the just. In other words, what Jesus is saying to us right there is this. Watch closely. Start doing for those people who are on the fringe of your life, not just your inner circle. So don't just do for the people who can do for you, and don't just do for the people in your inner circle. Begin to have open eyes and an open heart for the people God wants to work through you to touch. There are people in your life who desperately need to encounter the love of God and the message of hope in Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling us, open your eyes and begin to see those people. The ones who feel like they're not wanted at all. The people who have been discounted by other people. The people who have been written off. The people who have nothing to offer. These are the traits that qualify them for your friendship and for your time. Jesus would say, find someone who looks desperate. Step out. Go be that person's friend. Invite them to the supper. Don't let your qualifiers be grounded in what someone can bring to the table. Remember where you were when God found you. See, the Lord values every person exactly the same. How about the little girl who got pregnant out of wedlock and so many people in her life turned her away? Sometimes even church people turned her away. But kingdom-minded people won't turn her away. They'll reach out and go be her friend. Are y'all hearing me this morning? How about the guy that's on drugs, man, and he's strung out? And everyone in his life tries to avoid having contact with him. Step out and have some courage. Go invite him to the supper. Open your eyes and open your ears to the ones who feel like nobody wants them in their life. These are people who Jesus died for. And church, hear me. Jesus died for them, and still today, the cross of Jesus is as effective to change a life as it always has been. He can still come into her life and into his life and create for them a brand new destiny. But how will they know unless they hear? And how can they hear unless we are sent? Come on, somebody, say a good amen. Come on, let's read the rest of this amazing story. Look closely on your screen. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many. and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are ready. But they all with one accord, look what happened, began to make excuses. And the first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And still another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. And another said, I feel sorry for this guy. He said, I've married a wife and there I cannot come. He chose the wrong wife. Come on. So the servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, okay, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Y'all see what happened? And the servant said, master, it's done as you have commanded, and still there's room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste my supper. This story is the perfect example of why Jesus' words are so impactful to us. See, the Lord spoke in parables. He spoke in parables so that we could see plainly and precisely what he wanted us to see. This means that Jesus used regular, plain stories to help us understand the will of God. In fact, the definition of a parable is simply this. A parable is a simple story used to teach an important spiritual truth. There's a vital spiritual truth and instruction in this parable today, the parable of the Great Supper, that we cannot miss. It involves 3 main players, church. See, the parable of the Great Supper involves these 3. First of all, understand that God is the certain man or the man of the house. Number 2, the reference to the Great Supper is his kingdom. And number 3, don't miss this, we are his faithful servants sent out to deliver the invitations. That's us. Come on, everybody say, that's me. If you're born again this morning, you've got a job to do. It's up to me and you to go out and deliver the invitations. Also, in this amazing parable, there are 3 groups of people who are invited to come to the kingdom. Look closely with me. Number 1, he talks about the able. The able. And how are we supposed to approach the able? The Bible says to invite them to come in. Have you ever noticed that some people are very easy to invite to the kingdom? They're the people who are involved in our lives. They are our families, our extended families, our coworkers, friends of friends, people with whom we share interests and hobbies. You've probably spent some time inviting these kinds of people to the kingdom. But just like the story demonstrates, these are also the kinds of people who frequently make excuses and don't respond to the invitation. How many realize that this morning? You've probably invited people to church and they've said, sure, I'll come, and they didn't show up. They're able to come, they just don't come. They have other things in their life that are more important than being part of the kingdom. Oh, it doesn't mean that we give up on them. No, our goal is to include as many people as possible, everybody that we can, in the kingdom of God. So church, hear me. If you've got somebody that you've been inviting and they've been giving you excuses, don't give up on them. Come on, keep on inviting them. Keep on reaching out. Keep on letting them see the love of God. Let them know that they're always wanted and welcome in the kingdom of God. Don't give up. Amen. Just keep this in mind, that there are other people who need the kingdom as well, not just the easy reaches, not just the people in your path every day. Don't get discouraged when your invitation gets ignored, because inviting is not the only way God said for us to bring people into his kingdom. There's also the second group of people in this parable, the unable. Everybody say the unable. Jesus gave this story for us to understand that when it comes to reaching the unable, he said, you can't just invite them. Sometimes you've got to bring them. Can you say it with me? Say, bring them. We are to bring them. I'm always so inspired by the awesome disciples of Jesus who have embraced this principle. And they really go the distance to bring people into the kingdom of God. These are the people whose lives have left them in situations where they need some help getting into the kingdom. You've got people like that in your life. What does it look like? Oh, it takes a real find and fulfill commitment to bring some people into the kingdom of God. You'll have to open your eyes and open your heart to real needs. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. This is the category that I was in when God found me and brought me into his kingdom. I'm convinced of this. Oh, I wasn't among the able. I wasn't among those you could just invite and say, come on in. Oh, no, I was among the unable. I was a broken kid whose life was heading down into a different kind of destiny. Have you realized yet that God has a destiny for you, but the world has a destiny for you too? I was somebody who had been through so much in life, early in life, that the enemy had a plan mapped out for me. I was unable and broken. But God had to step in, and he sent some people who had this find and fulfilled mentality to reach out and express God's hope and God's love to me. He sent them somebody who was unable. He sent them to me to show me that Jesus was real. Show me that although I was unable, when I involved the Lord, I can become able. Praise God. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? And there are people in your life who need this kind of rescue. We only have to open our hearts to them and be willing to look beyond our own comforts and our own conveniences so that God can work through you to show them exactly what he can do for them. Amen. Find and fulfill. And then there's still this last group of people. And these may be my favorite people of all. Group number three, the uninformed. See, there's the able, there's the unable, and then there's the uninformed. These are people, they don't even know that they're wanted in the kingdom. And the Lord would have us to know that the method for reaching them is to compel them to come. See, some people you can invite, some people you can bring, but some people you've got to compel them to come. See, sometimes people don't even realize that God's kingdom wants them to come and be a part. They've been through things in life that have left them wondering where they can find hope and find peace. Maybe they were even raised in a family that didn't emphasize faith, the Bible, or God at all. And they don't know that there's a place for them in the kingdom of God. They might even think that they've gone too far in sin, that they've gotten too far into the world, that God doesn't really want them anymore. But church, let me tell you this. There are plenty of people who think that they've gone too far for God to touch their life and that he might not want them. And it's up to me and you to get bold about compelling them. That means to convince them that the love of God far exceeds anything that they've ever done. And the cross of Jesus and his shed blood is more than enough to forgive them and give them a brand new start in life. But they're never going to understand it and experience it unless the people of God lose interest in our own personal pursuits and desires and step out with a find and fulfill mentality and say, you know what, Lord, I'm ready for you to send me somebody, somebody who needs to hear my testimony, somebody that needs to look into my life and scrutinize my life and say, you know what, if God can do it for them, they must be able to do it for me. Come on, can you receive it this morning? Sometimes you've got to compel them. And here's where it gets fun. The Bible says that we're to do whatever it takes to find these people. He said, go into the hedges and the highways if you've got to, and don't invite them, don't bring them, but compel them to come to the kingdom. Have you ever tried to compel someone to do something? It means you've got to prove to them that they're wanted. And this is why so few people do outreach with their own life. In fact, did you know that the Barna Group says this in their research? They say that in the body of Christ in 2022, last year, less than 1% of all the people who regularly attend church have ever won somebody to the Lord. Less than 1%. Come on, somebody. That's why I'm going to spend a month training and teaching and preaching. We are placed by God with a great responsibility and a great privilege right in the middle of this county. And let me tell you right now, we are going to shine for God with outreach and love and do things for people and spread the love of Jesus in this county in a way where if somebody doesn't understand that God loves them, we're going to show them that God loves them. If somebody's been turned out because of their mistakes, they need to know that there's a place in God they can come with open arms, they'll be received, and they can receive the love of God and be warmly welcomed into the family of God. May it be this church right here. Come on. Can you say a good amen? You've got to prove to them that they're wanted. Show them that they're needed. Help them see their value to the Lord. Convince them that the kingdom of God is where they need to be. Amen, everybody. Come on, if you receive it, say a good amen right there. Come on. You've got the invitations. You've got the bringing. And I love when people bring to church. But I think most of all around here, what people really need is to be compelled to come in. There's a great story in the New Testament. It's in Acts chapter 3, and y'all have read this many times. I've preached from it many times. It's the story of Peter and John at the beautiful gate. And y'all know the story. They found a man there who's lame, and he had been begging alms of people as they entered the temple. Peter and John didn't have money to give him, but I love what they said. He said, "Look at me, look at us. Silver and gold have we none." I'm telling this story because I'm going to show you in advance of what's going to happen to you and the people that you reach out to for the Lord. Watch this closely. Are y'all ready for this? Come on. If you're ready, say, "I'm ready." Here we go. Here we go. "Look at us," they said. "Silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I'll give you." Did you know that that's all God's asking us to do? He's just asking you and I to give him to people. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. It was an amazing miracle. It reminds me of exactly what can happen when we finally get the courage and the boldness and the willingness and the dedication to get off of ourselves and long enough to compel somebody to convince them, to prove to them that God can do something in their life. Oh, the Bible says, look what happens. I'm going to show you the scripture. Here's what happened. The guy got up healed, praise God. Verse 8 and 9. "So he, leaping up," amazing. Do you know that you've got people in your life that need a good leap up? "He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them," walking and leaping and praising God. And here's what happened. All the people saw him walking and praising God. That's the key to this whole story. See, God's interested in changing that life, but he's also interested in showing everybody else what he can do. And he'll do it through you in your life. He's going to do it through your life. And here's what happened. Please look at this. We're almost ready to pray, guys. Watch closely. Verse 10. "Then they knew." Come on, everybody say that. Say, "Then they knew." "Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." What that tells me is this, people of God this morning, God's going to use you. But we got to find somebody that needs a leap up in life. It's so easy, and I deal with church politics all the time. Let me tell you something. People will come to me, and tell me I really need to reach out to this person or that person, or this family or that family, and invite them to church. And then they'll say, because of this. And it's fine. We want to invite everybody to church. Amen. I'll tell you something. We don't just need to invite people who can do for us. We need to be bringing people, compelling people, and inviting people, not because of what they can do for us, but because of what God has done in us. And when you know that you know that you know that the power of God can change your life, you cannot hold it in. You just have to tell somebody. I wonder sometimes if we need a new, fresh touch from the Lord to revive us and rejuvenate us and remind us of what God did for us. I thank God every day that the enemy's plan did not work out for me. Come on, somebody. I thank God every day that while I was unable, when I was broken and staring down the barrel of a destiny that was going to land somewhere that was going to cost me my life. At the very least, my sanity. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? But God sent somebody in my life that said, you know what? You don't have to stay that way. Come on, y'all. Anybody hear me right now? You don't have to stay that way. God can do something in your life. Jesus can do something in your life and give you a brand new destiny. I'm so glad somebody figuratively and spiritually took me by the spiritual arm and gave me a leap up and said, you know what? In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. God has a mandate for us. We're about to pray. I'm going to be asking you today to pray for two things. I'm going to tell you what they are in just a minute. Watch this. God has a mandate for us. Invite. Yeah, that works sometimes. Most of the time, it doesn't even work. Jesus had some peculiar insight. He said, when you do a lot of inviting, you're going to hear a lot of excuses. I get that, but still, don't give up on them. Amen. But also, the mandate stretches us a little bit. He says, you know what? Sometimes you may have to bring somebody. The poor, the lame, the maimed, the blind, the people who can't do for themselves. You may have to step in and say, God, use me to get them to the kingdom. Come on. And then step three, when you've done the inviting and you've done the bringing, the servant looked at the master and said, Master, all this is done and still there is room. Come on, everybody say, there's room. There's room. As long as there's room in this building right here, we need to be inviting. We need to be bringing. We need to be, number three, we need to be compelling people. And that's more than an invitation. It's more than just identifying needs and meeting needs. It's getting in somebody's life and saying, you know what? Let me get involved. I got to prove to you. I got to convince you. I got to let you know my testimony. I've got to tell you of what God has done for me in my life. Come on, somebody. Because there's room. Everybody say there's room. There's a little bit of room in here right now. We've got, but I can tell you this, when there's no more room in this service, we'll start another service. Come on. And when there's no more room in that service, we'll start another service. Come on, somebody. We'll do things extra. We'll go the distance. You'll do what you got to do to make a difference in somebody's life. Come on, can you receive it today? Y'all stand up with me. Come on, all over the house. Let's stand and begin to worship and pray. I'm going to ask you to pray for two things right now. The confrontation this morning. I feel like there's a spiritual confrontation right now where God's Spirit is challenging every believer in this house. We need to be asking ourselves a pivotal question. Has God made the kind of change in my life that I have to give to somebody else.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Locksley Church today. If this was your first time to visit us online, we would love to connect with you. And you can scan the QR code or you can go to LoxleyChurch.cc and we would love to get to know you. If something stood out to you in service today, or if you have prayer requests, drop a comment below. We would love to hear from you. And also, we just want to welcome you and we want to say, come in person or come back online, but we can't wait to see you again soon.